Take your Bible and turn to Revelation. I appreciate the messages thus far. How would you like to follow all of that? I sure need the Lord. These men have blessed my soul. In fact, every message that I've heard has ministered to my heart this week. I'm telling you, God's helped me, and I appreciate it. I just want to look today in Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 6. And verse 7, Revelation chapter number 5 and verse 6 and verse number 7. The Bible said, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the privilege we've had to sit at your table today and feed on the good word of God. Thank you for these dear men of God that have so fed our souls today. And Lord, we bow in your presence. We plead the blood of Christ and ask you to search me, Lord. Purge me from anything that would hinder you working in me. Lord, I pray you'd speak through us today to magnify our wonderful Lord Jesus. Give us grace and anointing and minister to all of us today. And may you continue to get the preeminence and praise in this meeting. We ask it in Jesus' bloodstained name. Amen and amen. Thank you. May be seated. I'm interested today in the Lamb in the midst of the throne. In this throne scene in heaven, there's a search that is made for someone worthy to take that seven sealed scroll from the right hand of Almighty God. Away from the throne, a search is made in heaven. A search is made in earth. A search is made even under the earth in hell. And no one is found worthy. At this point, John begins to weep because none is so found. But there one of the elders stood by him and said, "Weep not, John, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to take of the book thereof." John turned to see a lion, but instead, what he beheld was a lamb in the midst of the throne. And oh, I want to look at the lamb today. I want to magnify the lamb today. Our brethren that have gone before us have done a wonderful job of magnifying him. And I want to say amen to everything these two brethren preached. I'm glad I'm among folk that are in the business of exalting the Lamb of God. Oh, bless his name. Now, right into the text, I want to mention, number one, the position of the Lamb. The position of the Lamb. The Bible said, in the midst, right smack dab in the middle, in the midst of the throne. He's not an outsider, but he has a place and a part in the throne. Think about it. In the midst of the throne stood a lamb. No one outside the realm of deity was found worthy to take the book. But here within the realm of deity is found one worthy, and he is worthy. I was thinking about this text the other morning. I thought about, man, he's in the middle of it. That means he's in the center of it. He's the hub. He's not out on the circumference. Bless God, he's right smack dab in the middle of it. Hey, it's all about him. That's what these brethren have said. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It ain't about angels. Hey, it's about him. It's all about him in Revelation. It's all about him in redemption. It's all about him in rulership. He's in the midst of the throne. In this heavenly scene and heavenly vision of John in chapter 4 and 5, I see him right in the middle of things. I see the colors around about him in chapter 4 and verse 3. And there's a completed rainbow, not a half of one, but bless the whole thing, because mercy and grace is complete in the glory world. I see the cabinet round about him, the 24 elders, amen. I see the cherubim around about him, singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. I see on in this chapter the congregations around about him. The congregation of the redeemed, who's been redeemed out of every nation and tribe and kindred and tongue. I see the myriads of angels round about him. Thousands of thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And they're round about him. I see all creatures around about him. Everything that's made, and they're all joined together in unison saying, worthy is the Lamb. The position of this Lamb. I want you to think about the personage of the Lamb. Now notice it said, and this in your King James Bible, you got any other thing, I don't know what it's going to be in yours. But in my King James Bible, Lamb is capitalized. It's not in small case. This is a proper name. Amen. This is not an it. This is a him. He's the Lamb, and the Lamb is none other than God the Son. Amen. God the Son manifested in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. That's who it is. It's God's own Son. And the Son of God. He had always been the Son of Man, but he's always been the Son of God. Amen. But I want to tell you what, the Son of God becomes something he had never been. He became the Son of Man. And may I tell you, he continues to be what he became. He'll always be God the Son and the Son of Man. There is a man in heaven at God's right hand. The man, Christ Jesus. Hey, in the midst stood a lamb. And he only God the Son was worthy to take from the right hand of God the Father the seven seals scroll. Only God could occupy the place, the preeminence, and the position of being in the midst of the throne. Because you see, he was no less God than his Father, and no less God than the Holy Ghost. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are co-eternal, co-essential. Bless God, I want you to know the one's not more God than the other. They're all three, and three are one. And my soul, I'm glad that Jesus is God. Amen. Now, I'm glad that the Son of God became Son of Man, that we fallen sons of men might become the sons of God. But I want to tell you, his birth in Bethlehem was not his beginning. Hallelujah, he is the beginning, and he's the end. He is the great I Am, and I'm glad before him. My friend, there wasn't anything. He's the cause of it, and he's the fit. Hallelujah, these guys preached. They bless my soul. I want to tell you what, Jesus is absolutely God. He's not half God and half man. He's all God and he's all man. Amen. Hey. How can that be? Well, if I could figure it out, my friend, he wouldn't be what he is. There's some things that'll never, my friend, be fully disclosed or understood. But I believe he's 100% God. Absolutely. You don't believe that? Watch these Russellites, these Jehovah's false witnesses. Man, I'm telling you what, they believe that he was created a God. He's the creator. Before him, there wasn't nothing. All things from him consist. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Amen. Didn't say he was God. He became flesh. In verse 14, the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. Amen. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I believe he's absolute God. I believe he's just as much God as the Father and as the Holy Ghost. Say amen right there. You don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible. Amen. Always has been God, but he hadn't always been man. But he became man. Amen. The Son of God becomes Son of Man, that we fallen sons of men might be made the sons of God. Jesus Christ, the only one that ever walked on this earth that was older than his mother, the same age of his daddy, and whose birth was not his beginning. And he is the great I Am. Bless his holy name. You know, I get to read. I remember this years ago. Never forget the Blue Ridge Baptist Camp meeting about 45 years ago. Old Ralph Sexton Sr. read this. He just read it. And all I tell you, he read, I like had 3 fits of a choir spell. Just listen to him read. I think I'm just going to read it. This was written by a friend way back yonder in the 3rd century A.D., a man by the name of St. Athanasius. Listen to what he said. Let's listen to this. I'm just going to read this. This ain't electronic. It's printed out. And I got it in my page. It's all right, you guys won't be electronic. I have so much trouble with them things. I believe it going to brink right in the middle of the message. I love you. But listen to what he said. I got this out of Bob Jones, out of an old book, and it says this. Here's the part of it. Listen, we're talking about him. Yeah. We worship God. We worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet there's not three eternals, but one eternal. Amen. As also there are not three incomprehensibles, nor three uncreated, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible. So likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, and the Holy Ghost is almighty. And yet there's not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. And yet there's not three gods, but one God. That's pretty good stuff right there now. So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Ghost is Lord. And yet there's not three Lords, but one Lord. Amen. It's amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let me read on. Jump on down here, time-wise. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. So there's one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three Son, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. All, and in this Trinity, none is afore the other, none is greater or less than the other, but the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal, so that all things, as aforesaid, the unity in Trinity, and the Trinity in unity is to be worshiped. Amen. And he goes on to write, it's necessary for us to believe in the proper understanding of the incarnation of the Son of God. For the right faith is this, amen, God, amen, that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man. God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world. Perfect God and perfect man, of reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood. Who, although he be God and man, yet he is not two but one Christ, one not by conversion of the Godhead into the flesh, but by taking the manhood into God. Man, if you ever get a hold of that, we'll have to catch you run to Goobertown, Arkansas back. Woo! What I'm saying is, hey, the person that's in the midst of the throne is God, the Son of God. Only God the Son could be worthy as God the Father and God the Holy Ghost to receive the anthem of the worshiping four beasts around the throne. They said, holy, one for the Father. Holy, one for the Son. Holy, one for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Only God could occupy the place and preeminence of rulership, being in the midst of the 24 elders that sit on 24 thrones. I want you to know that he rules and reigns. He is the Lord's anointed king, the personage of the Lamb. Now, he told me to try to preach 45 minutes, but I don't know if I got enough strength to or not. I'm still, y'all with me? All right, we go a little further now. Not only the position of the Lamb, the personage of the Lamb, but let me say a word about the peculiarity of this Lamb. Now, what's this say? And in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb as it had been slain. That's peculiar. call slain lambs, they're laid out. But this one is standing.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Could I tell you, my friend, look at this. In the midst of the lamb as it had been slain.
Yeah.
Three things here. Number one, the murder.
Yeah.
The murder of the lamb. I said the murder. Yes, it was. The word slain here is the Greek word phazo. It means to slaughter, to butcher, to put to death by violence, to mortally wound. And when I said it was a murder, it was the manifestation of the evil heart of man that murdered God's own son. Acts 2:22. Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, said, "Ye men of Israel, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, amen, by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." Now here it is. "Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." That describes a murder. There's your same word, slain. Describes a murder. The mischievous hands of man manifesting the greatest wickedness that's ever been done on this earth. They meant it for evil. But I like what it said before then. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel. That wasn't no accident. It wasn't no afterthought. It wasn't no trying to patch up something. It was determined before the world was. The brother quoted a while ago, "The lamb slain from the foundation of the earth." I will tell you what, it wasn't no afterthought with God. God done had the plan. God done, amen. Yes, he did. Before Adam ever did fall, God already had the plan. I'm glad, hallelujah. Hey, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, him being delivered. They couldn't have killed him if God hadn't delivered him. But God delivered his son to the altar. Just like Abraham delivered Isaac to the altar. "And in the mount it shall be seen. Bless God on the rise mountain. Abraham got his son spared. But on that same mountain, thousands of years later, on that same mountain, Moriah's mountain, hey, God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all." Hallelujah. That's enough to make an Episcopalian have a spell. I guarantee you, friend, the murder of the lamb. But let me mention, I'm hurrying, the miracle of the lamb. You say, "What do you mean a miracle?" Hey, you can get a picture of them Old Testament sacrifices. They took those lambs, they filleted them, they laid them out, they attached their limbs, they stretched them on that altar. But this lamb ain't laid out. He's a standing. And hey, I want to tell you what, slain lambs don't stand unless they've been resurrected. Woo! And bless God, I don't serve a dead Savior, but a living Lord. Hallelujah, he's alive. He not only resurrected, but bless God, he's ascended. He's exalted. Woo! 25 minutes. I don't know if I can give you 20 more or not. Hey, I want to tell you what, he's alive. I love that in Psalm 24. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in." That's a scene in heaven. You see, Jesus had gone to earth. Amen. The doors of heaven were shut. They always have been shut. Hello? Even Enoch and Elijah somewhere outside the gate comforted because the blood had not yet been offered. Jesus came to earth. I'm covering a lot of territory here. You can talk to me about it a while. But he came to this earth, paid the debt. Amen. Died the death. Amen. Cried, "It is finished." And they put him in a tomb. And bless God, when he got put in that tomb dead, he descended into the, amen, into Sheol, into the paradise compartment of hell. And there he preached deliverance to the captive. And bless God, damnation to those in Tetrarch. And bless God, he got up. And when he got up, somebody got up with him. The saints which slept arose. Paradise used to be in the earth. But anyway, Psalm 24, here Jesus has gone to the earth. And I just get the picture. I love thinking about this. I can just see one of them angels up on the walls of that city, and he's got his telescope fixed back toward planet Earth. His master and maker had been gone for 33 and a half years. But one day he looks and he sees somebody coming. Woo! He hollers down to the gatekeeper, "Lift up your head, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in." This guy down here looked up and said, "Who is the King of glory?" He said, "I'll tell you who he is. He's the Lord mighty in battle. He's won the war." He got up, bless God, put his foot down on the devil's head and cried, "I am he that was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Have the keys of death and hell." Whew. They swing open that door, and in walks the Lamb of God with the high priest of our profession, with his own blood. Not the blood of bulls, not the blood of goats, but his own blood. He walks up Hallelujah Avenue. He walks to the very throne of God, to the very Ark of the Covenant and the altar before God. And there, he presents his blood. And the Father said, "That's good enough." You can go get them now. Now get the picture here. When Christ got up from the grave, the accounts, there's no conflicts. There's just a different in timing of things. But when he got up from the grave, the first one he showed himself was to Mary Magdalene. And she thought him to be the gardener. And when he revealed himself to her, she began to want to embrace him. He said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, your Father. But go rather than..." You see, on the high day of atonement, if anybody touched that priest offering that offering, it would nullify the offering. He couldn't be touched. He hadn't done his priestly work. He said, "Go tell my disciples." Amen. Hey! And so, but later you read where the women did embrace him. That's after he come back. He made a quick trip to glory, offered the blood. Amen. They closed gates on the way back. He went, hallelujah. When he got up, he got that crowd up out of paradise with him. They hung around out Jerusalem and were seen of many. Say amen. He said, "Hang around here a little bit. I got to go open up the way." Amen. And he opened up the way by his own blood. Back to that other angel. Back to that other angel. Woo! He's up there on that wall. He's looking. Hey. And he sees somebody coming. He sees a whole lot of somebody's coming. He said, "Lift up your head, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in." Down here they hollered back to him. Said, "Who is the King of glory?" Listen at the difference. The Lord of hosts. He got a whole host up with him. This time they throwed open every gate, east, north, south, and west. And hallelujah. And old Father Abraham, he'd been a looking for this city. He'd been a searching. He'd been all of these decades. Hallelujah. But the Lamb of God leads the way. And in they come. Hallelujah. Woo! He got up. And bless God. And now when we die, we don't go to paradise in the heart of the earth. Paul said, I knew a man in Christ 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, cannot tell. That was called up into the where? Third heaven. Woo! I'm going that way. Y'all with me? The miracle of the Lamb. I'm going to finish this. I ain't going to get it done, but I'm going to finish it. One other thing, I want you to see not only the murder of the Lamb, the miracle of the Lamb, but I want to say a word about the marring of the Lamb. The marring of the Lamb. You see, this Lamb had the marks and mars of the crucifixion. When you think about heaven being so beautiful, so perfect, so glorious, nothing there, my friend, but perfection everywhere. And then you look, something marred and marked. Y'all looking at me kind of funny. Jesus got up in a resurrected body, right? But that resurrected body showed up the next Sunday because you see Thomas laid out of church that first Sunday night. And they went and sent a visitation out to him and said, Thomas, the Lord. He said, oh, I wouldn't believe you saw the Lord unless I could put my fingers in the, amen, and print of the nails of his hand and thrust my hand into his side. The next Sunday night, Thomas showed up and Jesus showed up. Woo! And he said, come here, Thomas. Put your finger right there. Put your hand right there. Old Thomas didn't do a thing but fall on his face. And he said, my Lord and my God. Now, I said that to say this. In his resurrection, glorified body, a body that could walk through walls. Could I just tell y'all, they didn't roll the stone away to let him out. He's done out. Amen. They lowed the stone away to let them in to see where he been. Say amen right there. He appeared in the midst of the disciples. Glorified body that could eat, be touched and handled. But in that glorified body, got the marks. They are lingering marks. They're marks, amen, of what it cost God. Our salvation's free to us, but it cost God everything. Your salvation's not cheap. They are lingering marks. Oh, my soul. Could I say that they are law marks? Because he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Hey, and sin is the transgression of the law. I want you to know the marks in his body, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree. These were law marks. He paid the penalty of sin and fulfilled the righteous vindication of God's law of judgment against sin. Got to end. These were not only lingering marks, and they continue. 10,000 years from now, we'll come around the throne and we'll look, we'll bow at a nail print in his feet and the stripes on his back and the marks in his brow and the print of the nails in his hand. Amen. And if he embraces us, you see, God forgot our sin, but he ain't gonna ever forget Calvary. I want to say one other thing here, and I really didn't even get to this is just the first point of the message. I want to say one other thing. There not only were they lingering marks and law marks, but they were love marks. I remember that old Indian preacher, Brother Lockie, sharing this one time. Bless my soul, Brother James Lockie. He's another one of these like Rayton Puckett, 88 years old, still full of the Holy Ghost and preaching with the power of God on him. I say hallelujah. I'm 68. I hope I can end up like that, bless God, if I live that long. But I'll tell you what he said. I'd never forget hearing this. You know, in the Old Testament, and preacher, I will be done. You asked me to do 45. I'm going to be done in 35. Amen. I want to hear this man of God preach. I've been coming every day to hear him preach. And he's got it laid every day. You ready to feed me? I love you. You know that, don't you, buddy? Hey, listen. Love marks. In the Old Testament economy, there was what was known as the right of the bond slave. Now, if there was an Israelite that got poor and had to sell himself to another Israelite because he got in such poverty, he could become a servant to that. But in the year of Jubilee, he was to be let loose and he was to be sent forth. But if his master had given him one of his own servants, maid servants who may have been a Gentile, and give it to that man to be his wife, and he stayed there and had children by her and lived with her and was married to her, when it came time for him to be released, he could go himself, but he couldn't take her. Now here's the scenario. Can you imagine? Now just think about it. The day of Jubilee has come around now. Time of release has come. His wife knows about it. I'm going to get to go free today. I'm going to get go back into my own inheritance. I'll no longer have to be a bond slave. I get to go free today. But he knew he couldn't take his wife or his children because they belonged to his master. So God made a privilege that he had this riding privilege if he wanted to. If it was good with him and good with his master, and if he had children and loved all of them and wanted to stay there, and so they would take him, amen, to the door. And they'd take an awl and they'd bore a hole in his ear. Amen. Oh, yes. And it'd be a mark that he's gonna be a servant forever in that household, a bond slave forever. Now here's the part I want to get to. Remember that little old girl? She said, well, he's going free and we won't get to say daddy anymore. But my friend, there's a strange stirring at the door, and the door opens, and in he comes, her love. And he reaches up there and hugs her, and she reaches up there and she looks and she sees the blood, amen, and the mark, and amen. And you know what that mark said? That mark said to that little old girl, I love you, I love you, I want to be with you, I love you. That's what it's all about. And while the ages roll, hallelujah, and we come around and look at the Lamb of God and see those wounds, they're saying, I love you. I want to be with you. I did this for you. I love you.